is so good. Praise the Lord. Do you know there's some tangible benefits, incomparable benefits of trusting Christ? And so there's seven of them I want to talk about tonight. It won't take us too very long. And it was a good service this morning. I believe some folks were touched in body this morning, and spiritually they were uplifted. And that's what it's all about. It's nothing to do with us. To God be the glory. And that's, no matter what happens in our church, no matter, you know, who lays hands on somebody and they recover or they're healed or whatever, it's not about the individual. It's about Jesus Christ. And to Him be the glory. God gets the glory. Amen. We start taking the glory, we might get a little bit wormy and die. A lot wormy, like Herod did. I mean, it happened instantly, and so I want to give God the glory. I don't need any. And anyway, so God is good, isn't He? So there's some principles that most all of us abide by, and these incomparable benefits of trusting Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about them just a little bit. I'm glad that Jesus died and so that God could truly reveal Himself to us. You know, His plan of salvation, His plan to rescue us. Throughout history, God began to write about it, tell about it, show about it, and then it come to pass through Jesus Christ. He rescued us. He rescued me. I don't know about you, but and I'm sure He did you too. He rescued me from a life of sin, from bondage, from all these things, this wickedness that was in my life. And so it's a curse of sin and death that Jesus has rescued us from. And there's some benefits to this, and it happened over 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Aren't you glad for that tonight? That He rescued you. Jesus Christ, whom they put in the grave, was raised on the third day, was seen by above 500 people, was on the earth for about 40 days, seen by over 500 people, walked in and out of places, walked down the road to Emmaus, and two disciples were talking about Him, didn't recognize who He was, discussing Scripture, and He began to talk to them about it, and then, you know, revealed Himself to them. But we have become recipients of the greatest gift ever. As kids, you know, Christmas time comes, and when we were kids, you know, we'd always write a list, and we want this and this and this, and this would be the best gift ever. And you ever do that? And your kids make these real old lists, and you think, my goodness, I can't begin to get all that. Oh, wait a minute, Santa can't get all that stuff, and you know, and so. Man, you make this list, you want all these things, and you think that'd be the greatest gift, and that's not the greatest gift. If your folks could have got everything you ever wrote down on a list, Santa Claus could have supplied it all, which he can't. Fictional character can't supply all that you need. Jesus Christ is not a fictional character, and God is not fictional, and God gave us the greatest gift He could ever give anybody 2,000 years ago, and that is life eternal through Jesus Christ. So, number one, if you're a Christian tonight, you have total forgiveness. Total forgiveness. You need to get a hold of that. Some of us, especially us raised up in the old line free wholeness group, we didn't grasp that for a long time, that we had total forgiveness. Our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins are all hid in Jesus Christ. We've been saved by grace. And so we have been forgiven by Jesus. He bore them on the cross for us. Aren't you glad that He bore our sins? He satisfied God's wrath. He became the propitiation, which means He took our place and satisfied the wrath of God towards sin. If you accept Christ as Savior, then He becomes your propitiation. In other words, He took your place. You should have paid for your sins, but instead Christ paid for your sins. if you aren't a Christian, then most of all you are, I'm sure, but say you have friends that aren't Christians. If they die or the Lord comes, they have to answer for their own sins. They have to experience God's wrath for their sins. We don't, because Christ did. He bore our sins on Calvary. For Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and I quote this a lot, and it's a very beautiful scripture. It says, "For by grace, or the unmerited favor, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself," not on your own efforts. "It is a gift of God, not a result of works, that anyone should boast." It's not because of what you've done, it's because of what Christ did. You have total forgiveness, not because you earned it, not because you were good enough, not because you reached a certain pinnacle of goodness, but because Christ died at Calvary. That's why you have total forgiveness tonight. I'm saved by grace through faith, not by works that I should boast that I did this and I did. I don't like to hear that. I don't know about you. Somebody says, "Well, I've done this and I've done that, and boy, God's doing this. God's using me." Man, it's just by grace that you're able to be used by God. And so I tell you, I'm glad for this unmerited favor that I've been saved through faith, and it's not something I've done other than I accepted the grace of God and repented of my sins. Let the blood cleanse me. Let the blood of Jesus wash away my sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so we have total forgiveness because of what Christ did on Calvary. Number two, we have peace with God. You have peace with God tonight. You are no longer enemies of God. God is not mad at you. God's not there in heaven waiting for you to make a mistake so he can take his club and hit you up beside the head. God's not looking for excuses or a reason to wipe your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You are at peace with God tonight because of the blood of Jesus. And here's what it says in Romans 5, verses 1, 5, and 9. Let me turn to it so I can quote it properly. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Can't find it. Says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go ahead and read some more, Brother Robbie. We'll go through some verses. It says, By who? Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope does not disappoint or make ashamed, because the love of God, what it happens, the love of God is shed abroad or poured abroad into our, poured out into our hearts by the Holy Ghost or by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. The peace, we have peace with God. And we have the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. If God was mad at us and we didn't have peace, he wouldn't give us the Holy Spirit. But when you got saved, he gave you the Holy Spirit. You have peace with God. It's been shed abroad in your heart. And then verse 9 says, "Much more than now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We shall be saved from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. So in other words, God's not mad at you. You have peace with God. His love is in your heart. And you have been saved by grace and justified by his blood and saved from the wrath to come. And that means you have peace with God. That ought to make that shouting ground too, Sister Linda. I have peace with God. Some of us think we're enemies of God. We get saved and we're worried about this and we're worried about that, afraid we're going to make a mistake. Well, quit worrying about it. You will make a mistake. You will say something wrong. You will act up once in a while. But you have peace with God because of the blood of Jesus. He has saved you for your sins, past, present, and future. Rest assured, you're going to make a mistake sometime down the road. You're going to mess up. And you have forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Peace with God. He's not my enemy. And I'm not His. Praise the Lord. And thirdly, you've been born again into God's family. Into God's own family. You've been born into God's family. You've been born into God's family. You are a new creature. Fact is, from 2 Corinthians 5:17, we quote this, a lot, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You've been transformed into a new family. You're not the same. The old has died. The old man died. The new man was risen up in faith. That old man was crucified. Now you don't live, but Christ lives in you. You died out. Raised up in newness of life. Isn't that wonderful? Galatians 3:26 tells us that we are all sons of God. It says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. You're part of the family of God. And Galatians 3:26 says you're now sons of God. We've all become part of the family of God because we become born again. We accepted Him by faith and accepted His grace through faith, accepted Him, repented of our sins, and we were adopted into His family. Fact is, the Bible goes on to say in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, But when the fullness of this time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He's now your Father in heaven. You can cry to Him and say, Father, God. It's sort of like going up to your daddy and you just keep pulling on his shirt, keep pulling on his pants leg, keep, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He's finally going to say, what? He ain't going to be like one of us. Quit it. Stop it. He's going to say, what, son? What, daughter? What can I do for you? How can I help you? You're a part of my family. And He's given us everything that we need that pertains into life and godliness. He's our loving Heavenly Father, and He's given you everything you need that pertains unto life and godliness. Why did He do that? So that you can succeed at being a Christian and succeed at serving Him and succeed as a son or daughter of God. That fly better leave me alone. Or whatever it was. Maybe it was the devil flying away. We're Christians. We're part of the family of God. We forget that sometime. You know, when you adopt a child, I understand this is to be true. I don't know if it is, but I think it is. When you adopt a child, you really can't unadopt them. You know, when you do it, it's for life. It's forever. You can't go and say, oh, I've changed my mind. I say, too bad, too tough luck. That child is yours. Come on now. God, when He adopted us into the family, God's bigger than that. God's never, no wise going to cast you out. You're a part of the family till the end. Not going to be the bitter end, till the good end. Figure of speech. You're His. And He's going to love you. He's going to supply your need according to His riches and glory through His Son, Christ Jesus. He's going to make you more than a conqueror. He's going to just take you through every storm, every trial, because He loves you. You've been born into His family. And you know what? He's going to make sure you succeed. He's going to be just as good to you as you would be your children. Better than that, actually. Most people here, when you have children, you start thinking about college and, you know, educating them and getting them out into life, being productive citizens. Well, God wants you to be a productive citizen in His kingdom, too, and He's given you every tool you need to succeed in being a a benefit to the kingdom. And he loves you. So you have forgiveness, you have peace with God, and you've been born into God's own family. You're a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Fourthly, you have eternal life. That's a benefit, an incomparable benefit of trusting Christ is you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You will live with God forever. Have eternal life. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it will one of these days. The rapture is going to take place. We call it the rapture. It's a resurrection, the rapture. It's a good word, being caught away. We're going to be caught away one of these days, and when we do, we're going to live with God forever. Jesus is going to step out on the clouds. The trumpet of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together. One of these days, it's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15 says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen very quickly, unexpectedly, and then it's going to be all over. We're going to be with him one of these days. We're going to have eternal life with our Father in heaven. Why is that? Because God has saved us through Jesus Christ. Galatians, I'm in the wrong spot there. 1 John 5:11 said, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. You've repented of your sins. You've become a son of God, child of God. Now you have eternal life with God. Think about that. Eternal life. That's a benefit, an incomparable benefit of trusting Christ as your Savior, is that you have eternal life with God. Eternal life in heaven. There's a place, Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place, John 15, I think it was, or 14. John, well, somewhere in John, 14 or 15. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, is what Jesus said, basically. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive and to get you. I'm going to paraphrase it. That's what he said. And then he goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. Some versions say many rooms. Anyway, he's got a place he's prepared for us. He's in the process of preparing it right now. I think it's new. I think it's ready. And it's better than the Skirvin Hotel in Oklahoma City. It's better than the best Hilton you'll ever go to. One reason, the Son of God is the light thereof. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Beautiful place that we're heading to one of these days. We have eternal life in Jesus. Number five, God lives in you. One of the incomparable benefits of serving Jesus Christ, accepting Christ, of trusting Christ, is that God lives in you. You have become a temple, a dwelling place for God. And the Bible says that a dwelling place for God's Spirit. The Bible says that he lives inside of you, but it says this in 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you understand that, ladies and gentlemen? When you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to dwell in you. He's already there. Even before you get filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues, he's already there. The power comes. We talk about the power, but the Holy Spirit's already there. He comes in and he dwells in you. He begins to lead you and guide you and direct your path. Jesus says, I'm going to go away and I'll send another comforter. And he said he breathed on the disciples. If you'll read the scriptures, you'll find out he breathed on the disciples before, and that was before they went to the upper room. And he breathed on them, and the Bible said they received the Holy Spirit. They were born again. They were born again. And the Spirit of God came into them. That's an incomparable benefit, man. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We have him every single day. Every day he lives in us. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I think we forget that. If we would keep that in mind, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, we would sing that little kiddie song, be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Little feet, where you go. Little hand, you know, for there's a Father up above looking down. He's living right in you through the Holy Spirit. And you might just grieve him a little bit when you do some of these things that you had not to do. And I know the flesh is weak. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. But the Spirit is living in you. Don't let the flesh override him. Don't let the flesh override him. God lives in you. Number six, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Not a thing. Romans 8:38. Let's turn over there so I can read the whole thing correctly. Says this, and we know that all things, have you read that scripture before? That's 8:28. Look, 8:38 is where I want to read. But I like that scripture. Let me read it. And we know all things work together for them, for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We read that this morning, didn't we? We quoted it. 8:38 says, and Paul says this, see, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And Paul says this, for I am persuaded. If he was speaking, he would say very boldly, I am persuaded. I have confidence that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He would say it with boldness and with conviction, that there's nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing. God loves us that much. He loves us in every way. If we fail in this spiritual life, it will not be because he withdrew his divine grace from us. It won't be because a lack of divine grace. It will not be from some external force or overwhelming adversity, but from our own neglect to remain in Jesus Christ. There is nothing can separate us except us. No principality, no creature, no life, no angel, no power, no thing present, things to come. Only your lack of service or lack of love, your withdrawal from him can separate you. God will not separate his love. You have to do it. He'll not walk away from you. You'll have to walk away from him. And a lot of people choose to do that because of the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. They walk away from God. But only in Jesus Christ has God's love been manifested, and only in Jesus Christ can we experience it. And only as we abide in Jesus Christ as our Lord can we have the certainty that nothing will separate us from God's love. It's through and in him, Jesus. In and through Jesus. But nothing else can separate us. Nothing. I don't care what the adversity. If you have let adversity get to you, it's because you let it get to you. It's not because God walked away. Nothing. That's an incomparable benefit of trusting Christ. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Number 7, God has chosen to share his kingdom with you. God has chosen to share his kingdom. Luke 12:32, Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. He has chosen to give you the keys. He gave the key to the kingdom to us. He wants to share everything he's got with us. All the spiritual benefits that he has, he wants to share with you. It's all for you. It's all there. All you got to do, we sing a song, you can have it, reach out and grab it. God's got it. What's that? God's got a miracle for you? Well, the keys to the kingdom and God's blessing and God's healing and God's miracle, it's for us. It hasn't ended yet. The Spirit of the Lord's still moving on this earth. He's still moving in individuals. He's still moving in individual churches. He's moving across the land. Romans 8:17, it says, if we are children, we are heirs also. Heirs to the kingdom. All the benefits of the kingdom are ours. Every blessing of the kingdom's ours. We just got to stay in tune with him. Stay where we can receive it. I appreciate these testimonies tonight. What God's doing. What God's doing. It's all about God. It's all about him. It's all about Him. I'm going to tell you, church, it's good to know that we have some benefits in serving Christ. So many times people come to Christ and they don't realize, they don't know that there are tangible benefits. Benefits you can take hold of. Benefits you can go to the bank and write a check on. You know, these are benefits from serving God. You have total forgiveness. Too many people get saved or come to Christ, and because of past and because of problems and because of first one thing another, perhaps bad teaching, they never get total forgiveness. But in Christ, you have total forgiveness. They don't understand total forgiveness. They don't understand it's mine. And so they struggle with things. Maybe struggle with their past. Struggle with some past wrongs. Well, that's the past. And Jesus forgave those. Past, present, and future. Aren't you glad? We can have peace with God. We have peace with God. We've been born into God's family. We have eternal life. God lives in us through His Spirit. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And God is sharing His kingdom with us. Maybe you'd like to go to the treasury and say, Lord, I need some money. Sometimes if we all would like to, God, we really need to get into your treasury. You know, you own everything. You own the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the taters under them. And, well, Lord, I need a little help here. You know what? He says and He promises in His Word that my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So there's another benefit of serving Christ, that He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Whatever it is, you'll receive it. Praise God.